Outside Health and Fitness Podcast, episode 124, how to train for a 5K run.
By going to the gym and working out, lifting weights, doing resistance training, doing CrossFit training, interval training, you're actually recruiting more fibers. And in that 4 to 6 week spurt, you might recruit more fibers. That'll give you more endurance when you're running.
Welcome to the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. We're getting outside the box, outside our comfort zone, and outside and in shape. If you're bored with the same old fitness routine at the gym and you're ready to try something new, then this is the show for you. We're exploring new and fun ways to get fit on the trail, on the water, on the slopes, and outside.
Hi, this is Steve Stearns from Outside Health and Fitness. Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. If you're new to the show, we like to stay fit and active by having fun outside. We like to ride, slide, run, walk, hike, bike, golf, roll, swim, and ski. If it's fun outside and it keeps us healthy, then we love it. So if you're like us and you like to have fun outside, then you found the right place. Hey, if you're thinking about running your first 5K or maybe stepping it up this year and doing your first 10K, then you're going to want to check out today's show. I am pumped to have Dr. Eddie Fedakoff back on the show to share his tips for helping you train for a 5K or 10K run. Now, you might remember Dr. Eddie from episode 114 when he shared the skinny on sustainable weight loss. Dr. Eddie is an amazing guy. He's a personal trainer, author, physician, and he's passionate about helping you get in shape and live a healthy lifestyle. So lace up your running shoes and let's get right into it with Dr. Eddie.
Outside Health and Fitness.com.
All right, Eddie, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for coming back on and sharing with us some information about how to get ready for a 5K or a 10K.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Thank you for having me back on Outside Health and Fitness. I'm excited to be back on your show.
It's great to hear your voice and talk with you again.
Likewise.
We thought it would be a good idea to get together and just talk a little bit about getting ready for a 5K or a 10K. And I know that, you know, aside from being a physician and an author and all the other things that you do, you also are a personal trainer.
That's correct. I still have an active certification. I've been doing it as a passion, as a hobby ever since I graduated high school. So more or less over 11 years, I've been a personal trainer. And I have one or two clients I keep around, but you know, being a physician, it's just so busy and it's more of a passion than anything.
Yeah, it's got to be tough to hold down those kinds of schedules for sure.
Yeah, it's just close friends and family that I've just been doing it for a long time. I'll have their one or two clients that I've just, you know, that I've coached and wrote nutrition plans for and people that I've put in my book, testimonials in my book. So I've done a complete plan and what I like to call transformational medicine. It's, you know, I got their personal training and I got their nutrition and their medications or anything that needs to be adjusted as a physician. So make sure you get the whole package in one person. So I like to see results like that. It makes me motivate me to do to keep on doing what I'm doing.
That's awesome. Yeah. Sounds like the, like you said, it's the complete package from one person. That's amazing.
Yeah. One of my clients called me Dr. Fadoff because my last name is Dr. Fadakoff. So they're like, I really like your Fadoff diet. So I just didn't even think of it like that, but I guess it's working. It's a plan and a program that I provide more than a diet plan.
That's awesome. That could be your next book. Who knows?
Yeah. That's a great name for next book. Dr. Fadoff, the Fadoff diet.
That's right. So for someone that's listening who is kind of going, okay, this is the year I want to get ready and do my very first 5K, or I've done some races and now I'm ready to get serious and maybe do a 10K, how should they get started? What's some advice in terms of just getting in shape to do that?
Sure, that's actually a great question. I basically commend anybody who's doing a 5K or 10K race for whatever reason it is. Sometimes people do it for cancer walks, to support a loved one, for themselves, just to build their self-esteem or their motivation. So the first step is just pat them in the back and congratulate them for taking this initiative. It's not easy to run at 3.1 miles or 6 miles for a 10K or 5K. So the first thing they should do, I personally think, is to sign up. They should have signed up yesterday. And when you sign up, there's a timeline in mind. You get motivated to work out, to train for it. So I think signing up is the most important thing. Local YMCA have races. There's plenty of races in your community, whether it's your city, it's your county, whether it's your state. There's different organizations, breast cancer organization, prostate cancer organizations that have 5Ks or 10Ks. So decide when you're going to do it and decide to book it today. So that way you have a plan, whether it's whether the race is 2 months away, 3 months away, you know you're going to do it. You're mentally going to start getting prepared for it.
That's great. And it's also there's some accountability there too. You've signed up. Yeah,
exactly. And that way you're going to go and you're going to do it if you're doing it with a friend, with a loved one, with your friends. And that way you let everybody else know, you let your family know if you're eating a certain way, you're racing, you're training, you say, I can't do this. I signed up for my 5K. This is becoming real. I'm going to do it in the next 6 or 7 weeks. You know, and that way you'll have more family support and encouragement.
That's awesome. That's great. So step one, sign up. And do that today.
Correct.
Yeah.
Step two, and this is important because, you know, as a physician, I think you should have a yearly physical. And this mostly, I do it towards the male populations, because we're notorious of not going to the doctors, you know. Yeah. Most of the patients that come to the doctor are females, and they get their yearly checkups and everything. So if you haven't been to the doctor in 5 or 10 years or 20 years just and you're healthy, just to prevent an arrhythmia or cardiac or anything, just get it checked out. You know, it's a one-time visit. Have your doctor clear you. So that way, I mean, you'd be surprised how many patients we see here. We just had the Masters here a couple months ago here in Augusta, Georgia, and people were on the golf course walking around having arrhythmias, you know, ventricular arrhythmias, and coming in and to the hospital, and then been the doctor in 5 or 10 years. So I think a yearly cardiac evaluation is important, especially if you're going to train for 5K or 10K and you're going to have grueling runs. You know, you don't know if you have a heart condition that, you know, you weren't aware of.
Yeah, no, that's excellent advice. In fact, I think June is Men's Health Month or something. And I was just doing a little research today, and I'm not sure if this is the accurate statistic, but it says something like women are 100% more likely to go to the doctor than men are.
Oh, that's a fact. Most of the patients that come to my clinic, 70-80% are women. The only way the men comes in there is if their wife forces them to come in there. Like, I had a patient today for a skin cancer check. He says, well, my wife told me to get it checked out.
Yeah.
And he's been having this for 3 years. Otherwise, he would have never came in.
Oh, my goodness. So thank goodness for the wives.
Yes.
Okay, good. So that's great advice too. Don't just go out there and do it. Get a checkup first.
Exactly. Perfect. And then I guess the step three advice, and we can do this in chronological order steps. So you sign up, you're ready for the plan. Step two, you cleared it with the doctor. And then step three, the question becomes the training. Is there a support system? There's local clubs you can join. So that way you can do it with a friend, with a buddy. Have a good support system. It's kind of lonely if you're doing it by yourself. But most people that I know that sign up for these races usually have a person, a friend, a loved one, a family member they're doing it with. So it's good to have a support system around you. So that way, mentally, physically, emotionally, you can get through this challenge. And, you know, it depends if it's a 5K or 10K. You know?
Right. Yeah. No, that's perfect. And then the day of the race, you've got somebody to run with as well.
Exactly. And that way you both have a goal. And another thing to do is pick your rest days. And the way I like to pick the rest days on when you're going to rest and when you're going to run is depend on what the race is. From what I can tell, most races usually happen on the weekends, usually Saturday or Sunday, sometimes Friday if it's a special event. Yeah. So if it's Saturday is your race, always have the Friday as your rest day.
Mm.
So that way, if it's a 6-week training course, 7-week or 8-week, depending if it's a 5K or 10K, have your rest day on the same day every week. So make Friday your rest day if you know the run is going to be on a Saturday. And then Saturday would be your run day, where Excellent. You're basically running, preparing for that 5K and 10K. So when the 8 weeks are done, you're used to it. Your race comes up on Saturday. Friday is going to be your rest day, and then Saturday is your run day.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great advice. So that way your body's kind of getting used to, okay, I'm resting today, I'm running tomorrow, I'm resting today, I'm running tomorrow, and it lines right up with that race schedule.
Exactly. I like to have two awesome. Rest days. And most people are off on the weekend, so I either just say Friday and Sunday or Friday and Monday, depending on your work schedule. And, you know, you can adjust it as is. It's just have a little every 4 days just to try to give your body rest. And on those rest days, it doesn't necessarily mean you don't have to do nothing. You can do outdoor activity, play sports, you know, walk around. It doesn't mean you don't have to work out, you know, or do an elliptical or play basketball, something where you're not walking or running and you're letting your muscles heal.
How far back from a 5K would you recommend somebody start training?
So it just depends on your body type. So, and this is a great question. So there's three different body types. There's ectomorphs, endomorphs, and mesomorphs. And you probably heard of that from your personal trainer, or your loved ones have heard of that. So it depends what body type you are. If you're a couch potato, which we, you know, determine as endomorphs, and then you have the mesomorphs, who are kind of the muscular people, kind of like Sylvester Stallone, and then you have the ectomorphs, or the skinny, slender people. So it depends what body type you are, determines if you're an athlete and how physically in shape you are. So determine your body type based on what you are. If you're a couch potato, I would give it, and I don't like to say the word couch potato, if you're just not as active and live a sedentary lifestyle, I'd give yourself at least 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Minimum. If you're active, if you've done a couple of these, I mean, I have personal friends that they run 5Ks. They don't do anything to prepare. They've been athletes their whole life. So if they want to do 5K next week, they're running it because they run, you know, 20 miles a week or 15 miles a week. And so they can do 5K and take 10K without ever preparing. So it just depends how trained of athlete you are. But let's just say it's your first 5K. You're not really in shape. You're working 9 to 5. You resist training and you want to prepare for your first 5K. I would say a good 6 weeks. And there's multiple reasons for that we can get into. The first reason is your body has to get used to it. Anything in your body, whether it's working out, whether it's living in a new place, your body has to adjust to it. And you've probably felt this before. If you go and run right now, you go outside and you go run. And if you're not in shape, what's the first thing you're going to do about 2 minutes into the run? You're going to gasp for air and you say, I can't breathe. I can't get enough air in my lungs. Have you felt that before?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. And people always assume, oh my God, it's my lungs. My lungs aren't in shape. I need to quit smoking, or it's the allergies, or it's my asthma. Really, people don't realize it's the cardiovascular system that's not ready. Your respiratory system is ready. It can adapt. It can recruit. So what we call recruitment alveoli. At any given time, meaning we're talking, all your alveoli in your lungs are not being used because you don't need to. So it's not going to require more energy. So when you're running, you're going to recruit more alveoli and more, so you can breathe better and breathe at longer distances.
Right.
So to do that, and the way they recruit, and a good example of recruiting more alveoli is when you take a yawn. Actually, when you take a yawn naturally, you recruit more alveoli to get a bigger breath out.
For that person that, because what you've described, I think we've all been there one time or another. When that person experiences that, you're out there, you're running, and suddenly you stop and you're just gasping for air and you feel like your lungs are going to explode. Is that the point where you would recommend the person walk, take it easy, and then pick it up again?
Exactly. Yeah. So I like cross training. And the way I would recommend train for anybody who's in the first 5K or 10K is it's going to take about 2 to 4 weeks for your cardiovascular system to adapt. So if you're out of shape like to that point, there's no way you're going to be ready from a physiological standpoint to run at 5K or 10K. Your body's just not adapted to it. Your cardiovascular system needs at least a couple of weeks of the regular repetition. But the way you could do it, to trick it a little bit, is to do interval training. So what I'd recommend is run for 2 minutes, and then once you feel out of breath like that, then walk it off.
Yeah.
And by the time you get your breath back, you run again. So you do these 2 minute, 1 minute intervals for about 30 minutes.
Right.
So on a perfect example, Monday you do cross training, Tuesday you do a walking day, Wednesday you do a running day, and you just kind of switch it up and switch up the routine where it doesn't get boring. And then one day you could just go to the gym, do an elliptical, do Stairmaster, do weight resistance training. All that is going to help you. And the reason why I like to do that blend is, one, you're going to burn more calories, which is good. You're burning up energy, you're getting your body adapted to it. But predominantly for marathon runners or for long distance runners, and I think some of the viewers like to know about this type muscle fibers that you have. You've heard of the slow twitch or type 1 muscle fibers, and then you've heard of the fast twitch muscle fibers or type 2B. And so type 1 muscle fibers are your slow twitch muscle fibers. Those are for high endurances, so for 5Ks, 10K, 15Ks, that's the type of muscle fiber you'll be using. Mm-hmm. Your type 2 muscle fibers, your fast twitch, or it's basically anaerobic glycolysis, which you're doing heavy lifting, quick spurts of energy for sprinting. So we're all genetically designed to have 50% of each, 50% of type 1, 50% of type 2. But with training and endurance and athlete training, you can actually get up to 75 to 80% for it to be type 1, which marathon runners have. Like, you know, Lance Armstrong has type 1. More type 1, around 85% than a normal person like me and you will have 50%. And by doing that, it's training your body. So what you want to do is, and for the type 2, why'd I say do weight training? Yeah, you're getting the type 2, but the type 2A is the intermediate fibers. They can activate both the type 1 and the type 2. So by going to the gym and working out, lifting weights, doing resistance training, doing CrossFit training, interval training, you're actually recruiting more fibers. And in that 4 to 6 week spurt, you might recruit more fibers. That'll give you more endurance when you're running.
So that's a great tip. Certainly, you know, we think about running in terms of getting in shape and getting ready for a 5K, but what about other exercises like, you know, weight bearing exercises or body weight exercises? So those are important too.
Yeah, those are important because the one, they'll build up the muscles. You get this anaerobic glycolysis where you basically get the lactic acid build up, and you get that as soon as you feel that burn. So when you feel that burn, your body gets tired. And they've done either microscopic studies, myobiological studies in your mitochondria, which actually makes all the energy that you need for those exercises. And that long endurance and repetition over repetition over repetition actually evolves the mitochondria to withstand longer pain. So that won't be a problem as much. So doing it repetitively, it's like with anything. You start working out, I'm sore the next day. Mm-hmm. You do it for 3 weeks later, you're not as sore as much because your body and your cells have gotten adapted to it. There's muscle memory. So what do? You switch it up. You switch up the routine. Next week, you're sore again because your body hasn't seen it before. It's not used to it. So right. For our scenario, for our 5K, you want your body to actually get used to it. And what I do, and I think most people don't do what I do, I always push the limit. So if you're running a 5K, train for a 10K.
Right.
Or train for do an extra mile or two, because guess what? When you're running that 5K and you're prepared for a 10K, then that 5K becomes easy. 3 miles will become easy versus if I say, look, you're doing a 5K run, let's just only work with 3 or 4 miles, then that day of, you're only pushing the actual limit. Prepare yourself mentally for a 6 mile run, but when you do a 3 mile run, it becomes easy.
Just half of it. It's easy as pie.
Yeah. And that's with anything, you know?
Nice. Yep.
People always ask me, well, what should I eat if I'm preparing for a 5K or 10K? If you think about 3.1 miles or 6.2 miles for give and take, make sure you drink plenty of water. Hydrate yourself. I feel like patients that even come to the doctor's office don't hydrate yourself. Sometimes I'm busy in the day. It's hard to drink, you know, a gallon of water throughout the day. So definitely hydrate yourself as much as you can. If you live in somewhere where you're up northeast, when you're in New York and Maine or even Colorado where it gets cold, you want to hydrate yourself even more because you don't realize how dehydrated you get in the colder climates.
Right. Yeah. That's going to really impact your performance out there, right? You're going to cramp up and have all sorts of and potentially very serious issues if you become dehydrated.
Exactly. You're going to have cramps and Charlie horses, and then you're going to feel agitated and cranky. Your mental clarity is going to be, I mean, water is very important in everything and the function of your cells and clearing through your kidneys and everything. So you don't want to go out there, not be hydrated, run in the heat and sun, then have acute kidney injury and then come to the emergency room because you're dehydrated, have a heat stroke. So it's very important to hydrate yourself. That they always recommend that. Make sure you have plenty of water. Make sure you hydrate yourself days before the race. You know, you don't want to go out and celebrate the day before your race and go to the bar and have a couple of drinks and then be dehydrated for your race. That's the last thing you want to put your body through.
You know, you were saying before that a lot of these 5Ks and 10Ks are run on the weekends and they usually get started pretty early. What about that meal before the race? Do you have any recommendations there?
Yeah. So don't eat anything new. So, you know, if you go out to a restaurant night before or eat a meal, don't eat something you haven't had before. Don't wear new shoes or new sneakers or new shirts or shorts the day before the race. Some people say, oh, I'm going to look really nice for my race. I'm going to go, you know, buy new shoes and buy new. Don't do anything that's new. Keep it the same. You want your body. It's just your body's adapted. It knows how to keep it the same. The night before, I do recommend eating a lot of complex carbohydrates. Because what and that night before, 3 or 4 days before, we call it carb loading. If you're running a 20K, 30K, they're notorious for doing that 2 weeks out. And what I mean by carb loading is you have glycogen, or basically sugar storage, in your muscles and in your liver. The one in your liver is about 800 calories, and the ones in your muscles about 1,200 calories of stored energy. The one in your liver will help you control your energy levels, your blood glucose levels during your run, so you don't dip too low. So if you have no storage, you go out, as soon as you're running a mile, your blood sugar will go low, hypoglycemic, and then you'll feel horrible and you have to stop the race. And I don't want you to do that. So it's essential to make sure you have optimal glycogen storage. So what that means is you should not be on a high-protein diet. You should be eating plenty of complex carbohydrates, brown rice, couscous, grains like that, sweet potatoes with the skin in it. So whether you're preparing for 20K or 30K a week before, make sure you get enough complex carbohydrates throughout the day so your glycogen storage are stored and repleted the day of the race.
That's awesome. That's great. You know, I found that for me, I like to do oatmeal, but it depends. I got to do it far enough away from the beginning so that it doesn't come back on me. You know what I mean? But it seems to give me good long energy.
And for you, it's oatmeal. For me, it's sweet potato. Yeah. And for some people, it's round rice. Some people have that grain, that carbohydrate. They know if I eat this, I'll be good throughout the whole day or for half the day. Or they experiment. And, you know, if they're doing a first 5K, whether you do it the first time, that way, you know, have a diary. I would write everything down because then for your second 5K race, well, you know, I shouldn't have ate that oatmeal or that fiber before. I made my stomach upset the day of the race. I shouldn't have done this or shouldn't have that. Then for the next 5K, it'll be better, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Those are really good tips I'm going to put those all in a nice little bullet-pointed list in the show notes. So if people want to go and check those out, they can. You were nice enough to come back on the show. We talked before on another episode about your book and also some of the work that you do to help people lose weight. Can you remind us again how we can get a hold of your book and get a hold of you?
Sure. I co-authored the Doctor's Clinic 30 program, basically how to lose weight without ever staying, you know, hungry. Basically, eat more to lose more weight. You can get it on Amazon, on Kindle, where books are sold. Find it on drfadikoff.com. Follow me on Twitter or Facebook. But pretty much my focus is to get people to lose weight. People, you know, not the healthy athletes, people who have chronic diseases, diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, heart disease, to lose weight nutritiously without starving their body, putting them on a fad diet, we like to call. And this book, the Doctor's Clinic 30 program, we actually published in the International Journal of Obesity and had great results with it. And, you know, this is the fourth edition. I mean, the first edition sold over a million books and a million copies. So the fourth edition, I had an opportunity to revise it, and it's actually best-selling on Amazon.
That's fantastic. And I love your – and I know you wrote a nice article, too, and kind of told this story about not eating like a sumo wrestler, which was great. It was very eye-opening, I think, for me anyway, and I think other people, too, just to kind of go, you know, a lot of the way we think about dieting is exactly how sumo wrestlers – get big on purpose.
Exactly. And I have patients that come in, they tell me their diet. The first two questions I ask anybody in the weight loss clinic, before I get into intricate calorie counting and specifics, it's like people come into the clinic and I play guitar, I've been playing for 2 years. I'm not good at it, but you know, I don't come in the first day and say, I want to learn how to play Led Zeppelin when I don't even know the basics of guitar. Right. And people will come in, hey doc, I want this, I want that. I ask them, let's, before we get into all that, first question, do you eat 6 meals a day? They say no. Do you eat breakfast? They say no. Well, forget all the fancy stuff. Let's go down to the basics. And then I basically re-educate them and say, look, eat like a toddler. And they look at me like, what do you mean eat like a toddler? You have a one-year-old. She said, yeah. Do they miss breakfast? No. Do they eat 6 meals a day? Yes. Do they eat small portions? Yes. Do they drink alcohol? No. Do they go out fast food restaurants? No. Do you spend a lot of time cooking, preparing the meal? She's like, yeah, I spend more time preparing meal for my daughter and my son than I do for myself. I'm like, okay. And they eat healthy, right? She's like, yeah, couscous, brown rice, healthy oatmeal stuff. And I said, why don't you do the same for yourself? If you ate like your toddler, 6 meals a day, never skipped the meal, ate small portions, balanced size. And she said, well, I didn't think of it like that. I said, well, try it for 2 weeks and then come back. And she lost 20 pounds.
Wow. And look at all the energy they have.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, they're eating healthy because, I mean, parents go crazy when they have children, and for their loved ones, they'll make sure it's gluten-free, it's organic. Yeah. They'll do everything, whatever you tell them, they'll make sure they get the nutritious and everything they get. And they spend hours cooking and making sure they get the best nutrients for their growth. But I'm like, if you spend as much time for yourself, or you would be just as healthy, you know, right, if not healthier. And the goal is, you know, whether it's obesity, whether it's a 5K run, whether it's a 10K run, you want people to live a healthier lifestyle. It's about lifestyle modifications, not just a program. You know, that 5K will encourage, or that 10K will encourage them to boost confidence, get their body confident, to prepare for 10K and a 20K. I've read plenty of inspirational stories where people do 5Ks. Now they're doing 30Ks and training other people to do 5Ks. And, you know, they started off as just, you know, obese and overweight and sitting on the couch. And that's what motivated them. You know, everybody has different incentives to motivate themselves. An obese person might be like, I really want to get ready for my 20-year high school reunion. The other person, you know, my father died of heart disease. He was obese. I really want to lose weight to be healthy for myself. Some people say, I'm going to run this 5K to prove it to myself so I can do it. And then they lose weight for that reason. So whatever aspect in their life or whatever, you know, moment they are in their life, everybody has a reason why they're doing it. And the end goal is they live a healthier lifestyle. I don't know if you saw the new guidelines for life expectancy in America, but you know, it's 83 for male, 86 for female, which you're saying, you know, Eddie, that's great. People living longer than they did 10 years ago. Yes, but the quality of life, you know, are they on dialysis? Right. They're on 20, 30 different medications. You know, they're on wheelchairs. It's the quality of life you want to have when you're 86 years old, when you're 90 years old, when you're 100 years old, you know?
Yeah, that's right. You want to still be out there doing it.
Yeah, you want to walk around. It's the function. Are you functional? Are you walking around, or are you just bedridden in a nursing home, right, getting bed sores, you know, and could diet play a role? And you'd see these patients, you know, I wish I knew this 20, 30 years ago. It's hard to change somebody's habits to quit smoking when they're 75. They've been smoking 2 packs a day since they were 16 years old, since they were in Vietnam. So it's really hard to change somebody. But get it early when they're 20s, 30s, and 40s. It's still a little easier, and you can encourage their change so they can see, look, live to see your grandchildren grow. Live to see your grandfather, parent, you know, your grandchildren.
Yeah. And that's what I love about your book and all of your stuff. Like you said, it's not a program. It's a lifestyle change. And it's just simple, modifications. You don't bite off too much at one time, but it's something that you can implement, and it can have a good long-term impact on the quality of your life. That's awesome.
I'd also want to add, for the 5K runs, when people get really anxious or overzealous when they start the race, I would say for the first 10 minutes, do a warm-up. And one thing we didn't touch on that I think is important is stretching. Make sure you do dynamic stretching versus static stretching before every run, at least 5 to 10 minutes before any warm-up, before the day of your race. And here's why I think stretching is so important, just to put in perspective. Let's just take LA Lakers or Chicago Bulls, for example. They have special trainers that basically we call the low max in exercise physiology, where it's the maximum point of your stretching, of your basically your acting, your myosin fibers in your muscle, and you want to hit a midpoint, because if you overstretch, your shot's going to be off. If you understretch, you're not going to be at your optimal game. So stretching is important. There's a science to it. I mean, they have trainers. They pay for each basketball player to stretch them to the maximal low, is what we call. So I think stretching is important. It's crucial. It's going to prevent injury. I like to do more dynamic stretching, kind of do some jumping jacks, kind of do stuff where you're moving around so you prevent the injury. Because the last thing I'd want to do is encourage somebody to do a 5K and they're motivated and they tear their ACL or they have a shoulder problem. Now they're in surgery and they're out for a year and then they'll never do that again. So my goal is, you know, promote healthy lifestyle, not to injure somebody. So stretching is just as important. When you start out the actual run, the 5K run, you're anxious. Don't take out all your energy for the first mile. Just kind of, you know, pace yourself, get a feel for it, and then about mile three or, you know, 2.5 miles in, that's when you start to pick up the pace and start running. You know, the goal is you finish. Doesn't matter, you know, if you're the last person or the first person, you finish, and that should be more rewarding than anything. You've tried for something, you prepared for it, and you know, you saw the victory at the end of the road.
Yeah, and it's exciting. You're out there with all those people, and it's like a festival kind of atmosphere, and you know, it's a lot of fun. It's scary. You know, the first time it's kind of like, you know, can I do it? But you get there and it's like, man, that was a lot of fun, you know?
Yeah. And people have doubts, you know. You know, I've been athletic my whole life, and I did it, and I was nervous. And people are like, what are you getting nervous? You're in shape, you're a personal trainer. I'm like, I know, but, you know, then you have other pressures. Like, I'm a personal trainer. What if I go out there and I'm horrible? What clients are going to come to me? But, you know, it's even for people who are 10Ks, 20Ks, they still train a long time. Some people for the 30Ks, you know, for the Boston Marathon, people train 6 months. It's a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No, absolutely. Eddie, thank you so much. I mean, this is just fantastic advice that you've shared with us today on the show, and I think it's very timely. I mean, people, this is the season. You know, everyone wants to go out and do that stuff, and I really appreciate you coming back on and doing that.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me, and I do want everybody to wear sunscreen or a hat when they go out and run. Oh, I don't want to get people get melanoma or skin cancer. So it's melanoma month this month, so that's why I want to stress on the sunscreen.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. That's another good tip. You're full of these great tips.
Thanks, Steven. Thank you so much for having me. I love your show. Thanks for having me back so soon. It really means a lot.
Awesome. Thanks, Eddie. So there you have it. Those were amazing tips for training and preparing to run your first 5K or 10K race. Now it's up to you. So get out there and just do it. Stop by outsidehealthandfitness.com/124 for links to everything we talked about in the show today. I'll have more information, including some great resources on finding a 5K near you and how you can get a copy of Dr. Eddie's book. While you're there, be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter and stay up to date with more information on getting outside and in shape. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. I hope you got something of value from the show today that helps you get outside and in shape. For more on taking your health and fitness outside, visit outsidehealthandfitness.com and subscribe to the show. Until next time, I'll see you outside.